Dodger infield playing back. The right-handed Alvarez is ready. So is Blake Treinen. McNeil goes for second. Alvarez swings. A bouncer to second. Taylor has it in the glove. It's over! It's over! The Dodgers win the pennant! Champions of the National League in 2024! The Dodgers are going back to the World Series!
Hey, no laughing. No laughing. No having fun.
Hey, hey! I can laugh if I want to. What you got to say?
What you got to say? You know, that's, you got to come back focused on topic. No clowning around. Got to say that to the end of the segment.
Man, did you just run into somebody in the hallway? Are you verbatim repeating what somebody just told you?
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Dodgers in the World Series. Dodgers, Yankees World Series. You know what I hate about this?
Everything.
I hate the fact that I hate that they're in it, and I hate the fact that I can't miss an inning. Because it's doing what TV knew it would do. TV knows Dodgers-Yankees is must-see TV.
Yeah.
Whether you want to see Dodgers-Yankees or don't want to see Dodgers-Yankees, you're going to see Dodgers-Yankees.
Totally
because
agree.
You can't not watch it.
I agree. I'm not a fan of either team, but I'm going to watch because you have to.
Yeah, look, it's not often that you have the biggest game, you know, in your sport, the biggest series you're going to have the whole year where all eyes should be on you.
The two biggest cities in the country.
Yeah, and so they got exactly what they wanted. I don't think they would have been upset at a Subway Series, but this is brings back all the nostalgia. I love this because we get to go back to the Brooklyn Dodgers, and they're going to present all that stuff on MLB Network, and you get to hear the history. But yeah, the way that Rob put it is there's so much star power in this game. As much as we made jokes earlier about all the other teams being farm systems for the Yankees, Dodgers, whoever, you name the top tier teams. I mean, half their payroll is players from other teams. More than half.
Yeah.
but you get like Shohei, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, Yamamoto, who's, you know, was up for rookie of the year before his injury. And then on the flip side, we all know the Yankees here, Soto, Judge, even Torres is killing the ball, and Jazz Chisholm, and God forbid I don't mention Giancarlo Stanton, who might be the greatest postseason player of all time.
I was going to say, he lights up the postseason, man, unlike his counterpart there.
It's unreal.
Big Aaron.
Mm. Yeah, but you know what? With Aaron Judge, I'm not counting him out, man.
No.
I'm not going to count him out. Aaron Judge mess around. He's never been in the World Series. Mess around and have the best World Series ever.
Let me ask you, you already know what happened in the ALCS, but would you have walked Soto to pitch to Judge?
No.
I would have.
I would have.
I wouldn't.
It would have made bases loaded, two outs.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that Soto's been swinging in the postseason, the way the Judge had, I'm not telling you he's a better player. Plus, it was lefty-righty. Like, I'd rather go righty-righty. They let, what's the kid's name? Now I'm blanking on it. Their relief pitcher with the big-ass beard that just throws heat. And he just didn't have his fastball because, what did we talk about? Yankees had made the freaking Cleveland Guardians pitch their bullpen all series long. The series before that, Detroit made them do it. They were worn out. I'm tired, boss. Tired.
You tired, boss?
I'm tired, boss.
This World Series, who are you going for, Jeremy? I know I can't ask Ed that because I know who he's going for.
I'm in the Dodgers. I can't pull for the Yankees. The Yankees would be playing the Taliban, and I think I'd pull for the Taliban. I can't pull for them. Like, don't get me wrong. If I have money on them, I'll root for them, but I don't want them to win the series.
I can honestly say I don't care. I'm going Jeremy Kahn on it. If I have to pull for somebody,
come on, man, have an
it'll
opinion.
It'll be the Dodgers because I don't like other AL East teams saying that they have a World Series championship. I don't like that. So just it could be the, you know, man, it could be the Rays, it could be the anybody, the Blue Jays. I just don't like other AL East teams.
I'm genuinely conflicted. I don't know who, because I mean, it's tough for me to pull for the Yankees, obviously. But I just don't. I hate the Dodgers. I hate Los Angeles. I hate everything about it.
You hate LA?
Yeah. Not a big fan.
I never knew that.
I've never been to L.A.
I almost became a cop out there. I'm checking out at the last minute.
Were you were in New York and they were going to send you out there?
2 years in the NYPD. Playboy, the skin mag, they had Playboy sometime. They had the best ads I've ever seen. They had, it was a full page ad in Playboy magazine.
Who had the best ads?
Playboy. Let me finish. The L.A. Police Department.
Okay.
They had, it was a series of lipstick kisses all over the page. It said, be someone's hero, join the LAPD. I was like, damn, I like that idea. So I went out there.
Ed was going out there thinking he was getting kissed after every arrest.
Me and my partner. We both went out, took the test, passed the test, got called. That and the highway patrol I went for.
Yeah. You didn't do it.
The one thing I like.
Chicken out, because you can't make decisions when you're 22.
But yeah. You came here, though.
Yeah, that was a good idea.
Dummy. The one thing that I do, like with the Yankees, if they lose, it's that thing where you get to be even more petty as a fan because now you've been out of it and it's come join us on the bench. You guys didn't win anything. It's that type of smack talk that starts and then they throw up 27 and blah, blah, blah. You're going back and forth and this. It's just, I like that, the little trash talk. But when you spend as much money as these teams do, you're going to give yourself an opportunity to be here.
You get the best, you have the best media market out there. And you can handpick whoever you want. You don't care about the Yankees gave up talent to get what they needed. Yeah, because they can buy the next level. Keep in mind, and you got to put Boston in there too. Boston signed Pablo Sandoval to a ridiculous deal. It didn't work out. What did they do?
Cut him.
They ate it.
Yeah,
they cut him and ate it.
So did he.
Yeah, he did.
Who was the Yankees pitcher that they ate all that money on and just said, "Yeah, see you later"? There were a couple of them. Jacoby Ellsbury was another one with the Yankees.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. There's like five or six teams in the league that can spend all this money, have everything go awry before the trade deadline, and go, "We'll take that contract, and that contract, and see if we can't fix it." It's not a problem.
Let's go to Columbia and get Greg. What's up, Greg?
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can I mention something about the O's? I know, the Dodgers and the Yankees, but can I mention something about the O's?
Yeah.
Okay, so the law of averages, you have 30 teams, and I just figured this out. You have 30 teams. So the law of averages says that once every 30 years, a team should win. That's the law of averages.
Should win, you said?
When if the game was fair and just based upon a basic law of averages, every 30 years a team should win. Each team should win. But regarding the O's, this works well for the O's because the O's have the youth, the talent, and the ability. So I think, the O's are in a good position. And plus, we won the series against the Yankees this year. We won our head-to-head matchups overall this year against the Yankees. And then I want to comment on, you talk about small markets versus the billionaire, the big teams, big markets. Think of the average billionaire, and think of the average young college baseball player or minor leaguer that you know. The billionaire has the money, but the young college player or the young minor league player has the heart and the ability. And the money wins over time. It does win, but you can count on the heart, the ability, and the talent, the heart, the talent, and desire to win at some point, too.
Don't look at me. Don't you dare look at me, Ron. First off, can we go back to the 30-year thing? Because there's too many intangibles.
I'm looking at you.
And not all teams are created equal, so your math...
Well, that's what the law of averages. It's the law, reflects wishful thinking or poor understanding of statistics rather than mathematical principles.
Because when he's talking about it, the math side of me is going, oh my God, you're killing me here.
Yeah.
But because not everything's created equal. This isn't a...
Right.
Each team is different. Each team has different spending, different management, different players. Injuries happen. There's all kinds of things that can go in. But I don't know what he was talking about in the last part of it. I have no idea what that was. And I'm not trying to be like rude to Greg. I just don't know what the heart and all this other stuff had to do with anything. You can have all the heart you want. If you can't hit, you can't hit. I got a big heart.
If you don't have the players, you ain't going to win.
Yeah.
If you want to buy them, good for you.
And that's why we were talking about it. When you look at the Yankees and Dodgers lineup, all those players are from other teams that they paid to get.
Rick Ritter joins us at 9:30, but on the other side, something that I really want to hear about. That's the Daily Line.
Man, I got, boy, oh boy, oh boy. There's only three games tonight. I might just spend the time talking about how bad yesterday was for me because I got my ass handed to me in a big way. So that'll make some people happy. That'll make some people sad. What do you got? We'll do it next in the Daily Line right here on The Fan.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
He's ready. There's the snap. There's the spot. Kick away. It is up and it is good. Jake Bates sends it through. With 15 seconds to go, the Lions have taken the lead. It is Detroit 31 and the Vikings 29. Jake Bates comes up huge in a big opportunity that might just have sent the Detroit Lions into first place in the NFC North.
That's courtesy of the Lions Radio Network. That was my lock of the week as I had the Minnesota Vikings. It's so weird. I send my lock out every Thursday to people that subscribe, and I was going for five in a row. Vikings jump out to a 10-0 lead. I'm feeling great about myself, the way it's going. It's everything that I thought was going to happen in the game, and then it just turned. And then they battle back, and they take the lead. The Vikings were minus 1.5. But in my write-up, I said, hey, if you're parlaying or if you just want to play it straight, just bet it on the money line so you don't take a risk of a one-point loss. Rob, do you remember on Friday when we talked about Houston and Green Bay? He's like, what'd you say they were 3-point favorites or 2.5-point favorites? What do you think? It's going to finish 1 or 2? Finish it 2. I said, I like Houston to cover and Green Bay to win. He's like, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it didn't, but like it worked out.
It worked out.
And I didn't even bet that thing. So, yeah, with this game, it was just frustrating because as they got down there and scored and took the lead, I'm going, okay, I can't technically call it a win because I gave it out at 1.5. But if they win the game, I bet there are a bunch of people that just bet it on the money line, so they win. And then here go the Lions right down the field to kick a field goal. The Lions, for whatever reason, this Vikings defense has been outrageously good. I know people are saying the secondary's not. It didn't look good. They were confusing the hell out of them. Dan Campbell did everything in the early parts of that game to try to give it away. Give it away, give it away now. And they held on and won. Yesterday, some of the other games that I had, oh, God, I don't even. I liked Carolina plus the points.
You did?
Yeah. Against, because, again, it had to do with Washington's defense. Andy Dalton looked like the Andy Dalton we thought he was. Right off the bat. That he fumbles the football, and it gets picked up for a 50-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
That's how the game starts. And I'm going, you've got to be. It was not my day. And if I'm being brutally honest, it hasn't been my week. I've been getting just. You remember Nick Van Exel when he would just do the. That's what it feels like someone's doing that to my stomach and then coming across with the left hook.
If you use the law of averages,
yeah,
you should have a better week.
I mean, look, the law of averages states everything's going to get better this week. That's not how that works.
No, it doesn't.
No, just a really rough Sunday. I'm trying to think like the other losses that I had were very frustrating. I liked the Jets under last night. I was going to go with the Jets. Switched to the under at the last second. No bueno. The one that really hurts outside of that Vikings game, you know I had the Giants.
Yep.
And what a just swing and a miss that was. I did win some games. Don't get me wrong. I had Seattle. I had the Liberty under yesterday. That went to overtime and still went under by about 25 points. But I can't hang my hat on anything because I was so, so terrible yesterday. Now, as you move on to today, there's really not much to look at. We got three games, guys. One NHL game, Toronto and Tampa Bay, Ed. Toronto's at home, about a 145 favorite with a 6.5 total. I would lean towards the under on this. I don't know if I'm going to make anything an official play. I thought I was going to be betting the Ravens tonight, but I'm almost positive I'm going to be on the under in this game. There's just way too much money coming in on this over. And I like Arizona tonight. Arizona being at home. I'm tired of betting on bad teams. I just don't know who's good in the league anymore.
No.
I mean, you can look at their records and say that team's good. Minnesota looked dominant. Detroit lost their best defensive player. Came out and won the game on the road.
Rob's Rangers are undefeated so far.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah?
4-0.
Yeah. Wow. You've been paying attention?
Yes, sir.
Did you tell Ed that in his ear?
Yes.
Thanks, man. Part of this, too, like looking at tonight's game, the past 2 weeks in the NFL, Vegas has been getting annihilated. Just absolutely destroyed. And when you look at some of the things that have gone on, road favorites. Now, I'm a contrarian, which means I'm going to be on a lot of home underdogs. I find value at home. You got to pick the right spots, obviously. And I was telling Ed, it was so weird this weekend that all these road favorites and small home favorites, the only one that really worked out was Seattle on the road, and that's one you really can't even make a case for because they just got their ass kicked by the Giants.
Right.
And they're going to the East Coast to play a 1 o'clock game. But, you know, just not a lot worked out. With tonight, I was looking at some of the numbers. I like Mike Evans a lot tonight. I think he goes off. I think this is his game.
Yeah, you've been alluding to that.
I like the Ravens to win. If I were betting the Ravens, I'd probably bet them on the money line. I'm definitely not betting a -3.5. Just has this whole weekend had a weird feel to it. And without a lot of the underdogs or where most of the money was going, and it doesn't happen. Like, all the money's going on the Ravens. All the money's going on the Chargers. All the money's going on the Ravens over. The Ravens over right now, I'm seeing 73%. It was just at 50 and went to 49.5. The line's moving in the wrong direction, so I'm going to be all over Tampa Bay and Baltimore to go under the total.
Under?
Under, yep.
Hmm.
Again, 49.5 is you could still win 27-21 and it's going under. That's still a high-scoring game, just not going over that total. But, again, we'll see if I'm right. Haven't been right on much this week. I'm hoping that turns. The law of averages. Ed said I got to be good at some point, but this week I got my ass kicked. And the worst part of it is facing the music. I talk about this all the time, where people don't have to face the music. I was definitely waiting for somebody to call in about Dion in Colorado after they had their best game of the year, thinking about me.
That didn't happen.
Well, it did off the air, kind of. But again, my favorite play tonight would be the Ravens under. I really do like Arizona. I don't have a play in hockey. If you're forcing me, I would take the under in Tampa Bay, Toronto.
I think you're right, though, about the I don't think they're going to go under. I just see a lot of points. I think Evans goes off tonight, though. Mm-hmm. He's such a big height advantage over our cornerbacks. He's 6'5". And a huge, huge like catching area, radius.
Yeah. He's the guy that doesn't get talked about enough. And I think people make too much of the whole Lattimore thing when they play the Saints, mm-hmm. that he's kind of locked him down in those two fights. A lot's been made. Those two guys hate each other.
Yeah.
And they always end up getting in a fight and getting kicked out of the game for the game's over anyway. But Mike Evans is one of those guys that doesn't get the same kind of acknowledgments that the other receivers do. Mm-hmm. But I think he's, I'm not saying he's just as talented, but he's in the conversation.
He's one of those guys, I mean, it's not saying he's Randy Moss, but he's one of those real tall, big receivers that just, you could throw the ball anywhere, he's going to get his hands on it.
By the way, Justin Jefferson this weekend, mm-hmm. I watched a ton of that Vikings-Lions game, obviously. Mm-hmm. He made, and they're going to go down as like average catches. Nobody's going to think anything of it. He made three just unbelievable catches. One in the end zone where he knows he has it. He goes down to the ground. He just throws the ball when he gets up. I'm like, don't do that. And then he starts gritting.
Yeah.
But he had one across the middle where he dove in his hands, pulls it to his body. It's just, it's a thing of beauty. And a thing of beauty is a joy forever.
Yes, it is.
My man John Keats said that, Rob.
Yes.
That's your Daily Line.
There you go. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Joe LaCroix's Encore 945, but on the other side, Rick Ritter from WJZ joins us up next on The Fan. 931 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now from WJZ TV. That's right, our buddy, Rick Ritter. What's going on, Rick?
What was that promo I just heard in the commercial break?
That was Jeremy, like in things in other people's butts, that promo.
It's not true. It's not
that's
true.
How they, you know, that's how you three know that you are the kings, when they let you do whatever you want.
Man, big game tonight, 2-4-2 teams. Man, if you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their resume is quite impressive to get the 4-2. Keep in mind, they beat the Commanders. We know what the Commanders are now. Didn't know in week one. They've beaten the Lions. We know who the Lions are. They've also beaten the Eagles. We throw that one against the Saints away. This team, pretty good resume at 4-2.
Yeah, and look, I'll be the first to admit, I thought after last year, I thought it was almost like a fluke that Baker had a bit of a resurgence with those guys, and then in the offseason, they give Baker the money. They re-sign Mike Evans, who has been great, but he's getting up there in age. Chris Godwin's getting up there as well. But this team goes because Baker goes, and Baker's playing Baker ball. This is the best football that he's played since he's come into the league. It goes to show you that situations are everything. And you can plug a guy in one place and he can look like a complete failure. You put him in another franchise and it's just a totally different performance is what you're getting. And Baker making good decisions for the most part, a little rocky last game, but getting rid of the ball quick. Evans and Godwin just winning off the line of scrimmage, doing what they do. This offense and the fact that you can put up 51 points in an NFL game, don't look past that. Like, Tampa is one of the serious contenders in the NFC, and the Ravens secondary tonight, they're going to have their hands full.
They certainly are. And I also wonder about the Ravens. Well, not wonder. I know it's going to happen. They're going to prevail. But their running game is so strong, they'd be the Ravens. However, you can't forget, I mean, Vita Vea in the middle. They still have Levante David, Antoine Winfield Jr. They got a lot of talent on that Tampa Bay defense. But I still think the Ravens are going to impose their will on them, but you can't sleep on the defense either.
No, you can't, especially the trenches, as you just said, Ed. Vita Vea is an absolute monster in there. Tyler Linderbaum is going to have his hands full, and so are the guards, depending upon where he's at. But the reason why they've been so successful is because it can ping pong back and forth. And, you know, we can sit here all off season, and we can sit here early in the season, and it's easy for us to go, okay, just pick your poison. It's okay if you're going to stack the box, they're going to throw, vice versa, they're going to run. But it's a different thing to go out there and execute. And the Ravens are executing. This is not rocket science. And, you know, Torrey Smith says it all the time. We try to make football rocket science. It's very simple. Guys are winning and doing their jobs. When they are stacking the box, Zay and Rashad on the outside are winning one-on-one. They're winning off the line of scrimmage. They're winning at the top of their route. And when they're not, and they're leaving two safeties back there and you're running it down their throat, the linemen are getting movement up there, and they're pulling and they're doing their job. And, you know, we joke in football and we say the best formation is victory formation when you're taking a knee and you're about to close out the game. The Ravens' victory formation, the best formation for the Ravens, is I formation. At the end of the game, when you're about to ice it and close it out, and you have 500-plus pounds between Derrick Henry and Patrick Ricard coming at you full speed, that is when they're in control. But I can't say enough about these guys just doing their jobs, and everybody's buying in, and the aspirations are bigger than getting to an AFC championship game. They know it's Super Bowl or bust, and they're okay with that kind of talk, and they're okay with that kind of mindset.
We're going to get a doubleheader tonight, which is interesting, the league trying some new things. But as we were all talking about how the league went this weekend, how it went last weekend, it's really tough to figure out who's good and who's not. I mean, we just watched the Seattle Seahawks lose to the Giants at home and go on the road and beat Atlanta. Kansas City hasn't looked great from an offensive standpoint, but they're still undefeated. And San Francisco now lost Brandon Ayuk for the year. And I just think that we're going to be shocked at what teams end up in the playoffs at the end of the year. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, I can't remember a season where we've been 6-7 weeks through and we don't really know who the clear front runner is right now. There's so many teams in the mix, and to me, it makes it more fun. Like, especially as a fan, you sit back and you watch because you don't know 6 weeks from now who's going to be making a late playoff push or who's going to be that top contender. Cincinnati is a team the past couple of weeks. Are they starting to get into a rhythm? Is Joe Burrow starting to feel himself? Pittsburgh last night goes out there and beats the Jets with Russell Wilson. They're 5-2. Are they a team to be reckoned with? The Dolphins are going to get Tua back next week, hopefully. Can they make a run here at the end? The AFC is such a gauntlet, and we've said it over the past couple of years, but in the NFC, it's just as wide open. Any team can take it as well. Tampa, obviously, who the Ravens are playing tonight, they're one of those teams certainly in contention.
Rick Ritter joins us, WJZ. Rick, a little closer to home for you. All Giants fans couldn't wait to see Saquon Barkley. They wanted Saquon. Be careful what you ask for. 176 yards on the ground. And the Eagles demolished the Giants 28-3.
I mean, I'm not a betting man. I leave that to Jeremy. But the slam dunk of the day yesterday was Saquon Barkley anytime touchdown. You knew he was getting in the end zone. You knew it was going to happen. And just good to see them finally rolling, putting some points on the board, moving at will. There's no denying that they have one of the best rosters top to bottom in the league. It's whether or not they have the coaching, the scheme to put it back there and to make something happen. Yesterday was a big stepping stone in the right direction. People think that they're going to go on a bit of a run here. But again, and I think it all falls on Sirianni, the scheme, and is Jalen Hurts doing his job? This team's going to run as Jalen runs.
Yeah, Sirianni is a whole other discussion. What about the other game? Do you have any faith that the Chargers are actually going to not do what they usually do?
You mean Ravens West?
Yeah, Ravens West. Yeah.
I think for the Chargers, and they had some success early on in the season, J.K. needs to get going. And Gus is obviously out. He's on the IR for 4 games, so the load falls a little more on J.K. I think that offense goes as he does. And they're banged up, though. And, you know, look at Quentin Johnson's going to be out tonight. He's not playing. Who's Justin Herbert throwing the ball to? Ladd McConkey, maybe not exactly a number one, more of a two guy. It's just difficult when you're that banged up. But I think, you know, Arizona, not a formidable opponent, for lack of better words. Get J.K. going. Get that run game going. Make things a little easier for Herbert, and they'll be right in there tonight. So, yeah, I think that they can get it done, because I don't think Arizona and Jonathan Gannon or anything special to write home about.
Let me switch gears with you and go to the World Series real quick. Are you interested in this matchup, or is it something where your Phillies aren't in, you don't want to watch, and it's hard to root for either one of these teams?
Oh, I mean, look, both teams, it's a slugfest. You would think that that's the way it's going to be, and hopefully for the sport of baseball, it's just the Yankees lineup and the Dodgers lineup, and there's so much money in there. Soto and Judge and Mookie and Shohei, it's been great, I think, for the sport of baseball. Obviously, I'm bummed that the Phillies are out. Ed, I know that you're feeling the same way about the Mets.
Yep.
But these are the two powerhouses. And if you're a diehard baseball fan who loves offensive firepower, this is it for you. But I like the Dodgers. I do. Look, Mookie's got the experience. They got some good pitching in there. I think that they're going to be able to get this done. But it should be a good series, though.
Let's not forget, Freddie Freeman has the experience as well.
Yeah, bingo, Freddie Freeman, that's right. I mean, they're loaded, and both teams are. But at the end, you got to give the nod to, I think, the Dodgers with their pitching and their relief pitchers. I think they have an edge up there because these lineups, they can go toe-to-toe and bat-for-bat on any pitch.
Give me a score for tonight.
Going to go 31-24 tonight. Okay. I think the Ravens pulled out. I think it's definitely higher scoring. I don't think we're going to get high 30s, but I think the Ravens get it done. Lamar in prime time, and I just the way that they're playing right now, it's hard to bet against them, guys.
What you got going on, Rick?
So you're going to be in our Purple Connection show tonight, a bit of a pregame action. That's at 7:30 on WJZ. And then Wednesday, we're at Jimmy's Famous Seafood with Isaiah Likely and Torrey Smith. Tickets almost sold out for that, so get your tickets on the Jimmy's website. And we'll pack the house again, and hopefully we're celebrating another win, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Enjoy the game tonight, and have a great Monday.
You too.
Thanks, Rick.
You too. 410-583-1057. I was talking about the car that I picked and the Jerry's car show. Mm-hmm. Well, Bobby, the owner of that car, is on hold. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
Doing well. How are you, man?
You too. Hey, listen, thank you very much for mentioning my brother's name and the card and the legacy of his life. You hit it right on the nose. Steve Jobs owned one. He sold that, but it was sold after he had died and had his name on it. So that was sold for like $330,000. Hmm. And it's a very rare car. And my brother loved this car. This car already had 9,000 miles on it. And, it's just unbelievable. It was a pleasure meeting you yesterday. And
you
I
too.
Did win the 105.7 Rob Long trophy yesterday.
Now you give us the model of the car, too, because I forgot the model.
It's a 2001 Z8 BMW.
Okay.
Only 5,700 whatever made. 2,500 came to the U.S. And they only made them for 3 years. So once they were built, they were done. It was actually modeled to look like the 507 from the 1950s that Elvis Presley and big celebrities like that owned. Hmm. So it's a beautiful car, 400 horsepower rail to showroom floor back in 2001 was a crazy amount of horsepower. I mean, now you're seeing cars with like 750 horsepower, so it's a walk in the park now. But just a beautiful car.
It is. It caught my attention from the beginning. Hey, Bobby, thanks a lot, my friend.
All right, thank you very much, Robin, and what a beautiful day yesterday. Thank you for recognizing and my brother's story. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. He's a guy that listens on a regular basis, man. Loves the show. I'm telling you, I turned that corner, Ed, and Jeremy, and it just jumped out at me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was some beautiful cars there. Don't get me wrong.
Sometimes things just catch your eye.
But that just caught my eye, and I'm like, man, it was so beautiful but basic.
You know what, Ed? He was probably in the middle of a conversation when that caught his eye and just stopped talking to the person there and went, oh, did you see that? That's probably what happened. Squirrel! That's definitely what happened, isn't it? Tell me the truth. Were you talking to somebody and then saw the car and went, hmm?
Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Bastard. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
With this story, if you guys don't know McCamey Manor, it's basically, he used to offer 10 grand or 20 grand for people to finish this haunted house, except there's no end in sight. They just keep torturing you until you quit.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anyone's ever been paid. You get on a waiting list. And I mean, I'm talking, you're getting waterboarded. They're burying you alive. They're doing all kinds of stuff, shoving you in mud, like make you eat cat food and dog food, like disgusting things. And you signed off to let them do it. I don't know how this still goes on. Like, I remember being told, don't touch the actors, the people at the haunted house. Yeah. They're not going to hurt you. I'm like, well, now you tell me that. Now I'm not the least bit scared, you know, but. It is something too. Like, look at the picture. They tortured this girl. Look at her face. Now she's one that's smiling at the end. But they painted her up. Mm. They did all the, like, who knows what else they were doing. Mm. What, you like that? I mean, she's got a ball gag.
She has
in
a
her
ball
mouth.
Gag in her mouth.
Never mind. Here's another guy being tortured. I'll show you guys the pictures. I'll retweet this so people can see it. But if you look up McCamey Manor on YouTube, you'll see the video of all the things they do to them and how scared these people get.
But, you know, it's like what was the restaurant you went to and they insulted you?
Oh,
Dick's Cafe.
It's Dick's Cafe.
Dick's Cafe. And
Dick's Last Resort.
Dick's Last Resort. Resort.
Yeah, Dick's Halfway Inn is last night.
Dick's Last Resort. When you go in and you're insulted?
Yeah, and you're
you expect to be. Why do you get upset? You knew what was going to happen when you went in.
You know, the thing that pisses me off is when they throw your food down and they take one of your french fries. Look, say what you want to me. Don't touch my damn food. Joey doesn't share food. Touch my fries.
And the funny thing is, I messaged them because I don't think Ed really knew there was a Dick's Halfway Inn.
Yeah, there's a bar.
It's in Rosedale.
I did not know that.
That's a Dick. Yeah, Dick's halfway in. Is in Rosedale. And I messaged them on Facebook. They said, nope, not made up. Like, Trippy in Baltimore. What's up,
hello?
Trippy?
Hey, hello. What's going on, man? Did the Ravens win yesterday? I was asleep. Oh, no, that's right. We played today. Hey, Monday Night Football. Hey.
Are you down there?
No, I'm home.
All right.
But, hey, Isaiah Likely, man, he's going to have a big game tonight, man. And guess what? We just had my man Rick Ritter on here. You know Rick Ritter going to be talking about, like, Isaiah, man, how was Tampa, man? You know, Isaiah Likely going to score, and I like Bateman receiving yards today. The Ravens score, what Rick Ritter said, 31-24. I think it's going to be like 40 Ravens, maybe like
40.
28. Yeah, we're going to put up 40, man.
I like it.
Hey, Rob, y'all got to realize, right, every time Lamar play in Florida, right, he always ball out except for that one Thursday night game. I don't even want to talk about it, but you know.
What was that? The Dolphins game.
Where they went cover zero the entire night.
Yeah, and we didn't respond to it.
Yeah, but.
It was also 22-1 against the NFC.
Yeah.
You know what, Raven fans, I think Lamar might give us the five-piece special tonight, too. Five-piece? 300 yards. The five-piece special.
Yeah? Mm, all right.
Does that come with a biscuit?
No biscuit. You know what I mean? maybe we can sprinkle a little bit of mumbo sauce up there. You know, I still got some of this mumbo sauce from D.C. But, hey, that's what I wanted to say. My bad, Rob. Hey, Rob, I was talking to Rashawn this week, right?
Uh-huh.
So he said, hey, Trippy, I don't know what Jeremy talking about. He's talking about he like Merlin in the Puff. I said, man, where is Jeremy smoking? They not beating USC. And I ain't going to lie. I'm going to give y'all props, Rob and Jeremy, man. Shout out to Merlin, man. Hey, can I be a Terps man now, y'all?
Yeah.
Or is it too late?
Hello?
Too
late. Of course you can. No, he can't.
Too late. It's too late, man. Too late. No, get your ass out of here.
Get on board, Trippy.
No, don't get on board. Man, he mocked us. You going to let a man in that mocked us?
It's okay.
You must. Who are you, Jerry Jones, letting T.O. in your house after he mocked you? No, we ain't having that. I'm petty. No, get your ass out of here.
You're petty?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Okay, Richard.
A little bit. Now time for you to find out what we learned today. Man mocking us. Hey, yeah, you can join us. What you learned today, Ed?
I learned that as long as I live, I will never figure out deer. You know, when I was hunting, climb up as high as I could in a tree, sit up there with my bow waiting for him to come by. If you move a pinky, they all scatter. Gone. Like deer. I'm getting off the JFX this morning, Northern Parkway exit. There is a deer standing on the exit ramp. Not moving. Just standing there, like looking at me. Thankfully, I saw him in enough time. Mm-hmm. All right, it was a doe. In enough time that I slowed down, hit the horn, and finally, just strolled. Why is if you move your pinky from 40 yards away, they see you or hear you? You got a 3,000-pound car coming at you. It'll move.
Has there been any difference since COVID? Because they were talking about less people being out doing things and that animals were starting to go out further. Like, I know in India, monkeys started attacking people. Mm. They started going because they get a lot of food from tourists.
Yeah. Well, fewer people are hunting now, which is a problem because there's no natural predators around here. So, you know, if you're relying on bears and wolves, good luck.
Yeah.
A couple of national days. There's National Apple Day. I love apples. I do. I love green apples more than red ones, but I love apples. And today is also National Pumpkin Cheesecake Day.
It's a random ass thing.
Y'all put pumpkins in everything, man. Mm. Pumpkin spice latte, now pumpkin cheesecake. Pumpkin loaf.
I like pumpkin lotion.
Pumpkin coffee.
I love some pumpkin. Sports birthdays. I don't have any that will match up today, so I'll just give you the birthdays. Whitey Ford would have celebrated a birthday today.
He's the oldest.
Yeah. former Toronto Blue Jay. George Bell turns 65 today. Mo Lewis, former linebacker, turns 55. Ricky Rubio turns 34. And Kenny Cooper, a soccer player from Baltimore, turns 40 today. What you got over there, Jeremy Kahn?
Yeah, people who like my dad jokes end up being happier, smarter, and better looking than those that don't, according to a recent study that I just made up. So stupid. There's so many stupid jokes today.
They're all stupid. It's just funny.
Get ready and just you'll be ready for some of these. Some you'll like, some you won't. Every woman is a doll. Now, whether it's Barbie, Annabelle, or Voodoo is a roll of the dice.
I got the latter.
To the person who stole my sneakers and my safety vest from the yard this morning. You can run, but you can't hide. Why aren't dogs allowed in pubs? They can't control their liquor. I invented an air freshener that is run by mind control. It makes sense if you think about it. These are so stupid, man. What do you call a German man with only one hand? Han Solo. That's it. This one's dumb. I'll leave you with this. Why did Norway put barcodes on their military ships? So they can Scandinavian.
Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Manic Monday. Go Ravens!